Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Take your New Testaments and turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. I'm resuming this series that I'm calling Light It Up. You see that it's an emphasis in our church. You see some banners that are going up. This is not my idea. These are the words of Jesus. And we need to hang on every single word of Jesus. He's the greatest man who ever lived. He is the God-man. He is the divine embodiment of God, God in the flesh. And so when Jesus speaks, we need to hang on to every single word. And there's a couple of verses here in Matthew chapter 5 that we need to hang on to and really hold on to. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 14. In most of your Bibles, the words of Jesus are in red, which I think is a great idea. When they put the Bible together, someone came up with the brilliant idea, let's put the words of Jesus in red. It's a great idea. I think these verses here that we're going to read need to be in hot neon red because they're very important. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 14. Now, the context of these words, these verses are in the middle of Jesus' greatest sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. And it is a powerful message that we as followers of Jesus need to revisit continually, as we really need to become intimately familiar with the Sermon on the Mount. But these particular verses here in Matthew chapter 5 are what I want for us to focus in on. Matthew 5, beginning at verse 14. You are the light of the world. That's a pretty weighty responsibility. Jesus is saying to his followers, to the church, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Let your light shine. Implied in those words is that you will have light. What's also implied is that if you don't have light, something is wrong. Some of you haven't seen this yet. This is a lampstand. I should tell you the story how I got this lampstand, by the way. Before Caleb left for the army, how many of you have seen that show Storage Wars, where they bid on storage units? And it's kind of a fun show. It's a little intoxicating and kind of mesmerizing because you never know if you win a bid on a storage unit, what's going to be in that storage unit. Well, I didn't know you could do it all by app. And so one day Caleb says, hey, Dad, can I borrow the truck? I go, why? What's up? He goes, because I won the bid on a storage unit up in Albany. I'm going, what? So it turns out he got some cool stuff. He got a TV about this size, some furniture. But one of the things he also won in that storage unit was this lampstand. So it was just sitting around the house, and I said, you know what? I can use this in my sermon illustration. But what good is a lampstand if there's no light, right? I mean, I suppose you could use this as a door stopper or a heavy, awkward paperweight or a baseball bat. I don't know. I guess you could get creative. But really, the ultimate reason why it was designed was to illuminate light. If there is no light, it's not serving its purpose. Something is wrong. And so when Jesus says, let your light shine, implied is that if you're going to follow Jesus, if you're going to be a disciple of mine, because Jesus said, I am the light of the world, then my light must shine through you. In order for this thing to operate properly, we need some light. And lo and behold, I've got a cute little light bulb here, and voila. Right? You don't seem too impressed by this light bulb, because it's only a, 15 watt? I don't think this is what Jesus had in mind. So I think we need to... I think we really need to up the ante, right? When Jesus says, let your light shine, he means let your light shine. Oh yeah. Shine bright. Shine bright. Shine for me, Jesus says. What good is your light if it's hidden and no one can see it? Some of you are Old Testament people. I won't name any names, Tim. But I just finished teaching a class on the introduction to the Old Testament. For those of you who are Old Testament people, let me put the words of Jesus in Old Testament terminology that would really resonate with you, okay? If Jesus said, let your light shine, if this was the Old Testament, it would be, thou shalt let your light shine, right? I mean, there's no hiding this. This is a command of the Lord. Shine for me. Shine bright. Do not be ashamed of my presence within you. Shine bright. I heard again just this last week, and I hear this more often than you'd realize, someone was saying they prefer going to really large churches. Nothing wrong with that. But the reason why they prefer going to really, really large churches is so that they could be a wallflower and blend in, and they don't have to do anything. How is that letting your light shine? It's not. The command of Jesus for every follower of his is let your light shine. Don't be a wallflower. Shine bright for the Lord. One of the neat things that has happened, again, in recent years is the resurgence of research into personalities and how we are different from one another in the way God created us. And so I've been re-examining some of the research in personality studies, and I'm convinced that as we begin to understand our personality better, and as we begin to understand each other's personalities better, it will resolve a lot of conflict in our marriages, in our workplaces, in our churches, even in our communities. Because sometimes we look at somebody and we see how they act or how they don't act, and they get on our nerves and things can escalate rather quickly. Or maybe your spouse does something or doesn't do something that just bugs you and irritates you, and you get in a fight and there's a huge blow-up and it's ugly. I'm convinced that a big part of the solution can be that as we understand how God has created us differently, uniquely, that can resolve quite a bit of the friction that is inherent simply by being with other people. And so, a couple weeks ago in this series, I talked about how all of us fit into basically one of four major personality categories. There's four basic personality types that are dominant in each of us. Now, we have bits and pieces of all four of these personality traits within us, but the way God designed us and the way God created us is that one of these personality types will be stronger, will be more dominant than the others. The first personality type that we talked about a couple weeks ago was what I called the director. This is the go-get 'em type A personality. Let me do just a quick review of that personality type. And the whole idea is to understand ourselves better, to understand each other better, so that in doing so, we can shine the light of Jesus in the way that He created us to be. And so as you understand your personality type, your temperament, your reaction to things, and how you process things, allow God's Spirit to work through you so that your personality shines in the way that God created you. And so the director, personality type, let me just do a quick rundown. This is the person who embraces change. They take charge. They're fast-paced. They are entrepreneurial. They have a direct management style. They are ambitious. They are pretty much independent. They are passionate. They demand freedom. They are dominant in their personality. They have good administrative skills. They are highly competitive. They are good delegators. They are very good multitaskers. Some of their downsides are they can be stubborn. They can be workaholics. They can be impatient. They can be abrupt. They can be tough. They can become easily angered. They can become insensitive, ill-tempered, intolerant, and domineering. We talked about how the biblical character who probably most embodies this type of personality was the Apostle Paul. Here's the thing about Paul. Before he was Paul, he was Saul. And the way that he was wired and created before God got a hold of his life and before he was filled with the Holy Spirit, his personality was doing a great deal of damage to the cause of Christ because of the way he was wired. But after he had an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, God radically changed him. Not necessarily his personality, but he changed his heart. And those same traits, those domineering traits, God radically used so that Paul, his type A dominant personality, he really began to shine for Jesus. And there has not been an evangelist quite like him in the history of the Christian church. So that's the director, the go-getter kind of personality. Today, I want to talk about the second type of personality, which could very well be you. And this is the person that I'm calling the dancer. Let me give you some of the character traits of the dancer. This personality type is very outgoing, energetic, fast-paced. They like to be around people, and they enjoy being the center of attention. They are good relationship builders, and most people like them right away. The thing that drives the dancer, this type of personality, is that they have an intrinsic need for approval. They tend to be people pleasers. And so they try to like everyone in the hopes that everyone will like them back. So if you really want to get on the good side of someone like this, compliment them. Acknowledge their achievements. Give them words of admiration and affirmation. Just acknowledge the fact that, hey, you like being around them. This is the dancer. Now, we know in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 14, David danced. It says he danced before the Lord with all his might. I didn't see anyone here dancing before the Lord with all their might. I saw some toe tapping this morning, but no real dancing this morning. But this person likes to be the life of the party. They seek attention. What are some of this personality style? What are some of their strengths? They're very enthusiastic. They are fun-loving. They can be very persuasive. They are easily liked by most people. They're very friendly, very charismatic. They have creative ideas. They are motivators. They are dreamers. They are lighthearted. They're very people-oriented. They're spontaneous. They are fast-paced. And generally, they're self-confident. Am I describing you? Do you have some of these traits? Now, for their strengths, they do have weaknesses. Here are some of their weaknesses. They can be too self-involved. They may try to do too many things at once. This type of personality can be impatient, somewhat unrealistic. These people have trouble being alone. They have difficulty finishing what they have started. They have a short attention span. They can sometimes be arrogant or cocky. They get easily bored. They can become self-indulgent. They can be prone to sweeping generalizations. They can be impulsive. They can be procrastinators. And they can be whimsical. What motivates the dancer? What motivates this type of personality? Well, they love public recognition. They hang on to their awards and plaques and certificates. They like to hang around with celebrities. They want to succeed. They like being the center of attention. They like acceptance. And they are motivated by the latest styles and trends. What are some of the common words or phrases that motivate or grab the attention of the dancer? Things like, you look great, really gets them going. Or, you're the best at whatever they're doing. Or, people love you. Or, hey, this will be fun. Or, this is entertaining. Well, what are some of the turnoffs, dislikes, and fears of this personality trait of the dancer? You can absolutely hurt a person like this by public humiliation, by being unappreciated, by appearing uninvolved. They don't like non-social types. They are turned off by unattractive things. They are turned off by things that don't appear to be successful or acceptable. What kind of jobs or professions is this personality type drawn to? Public relations, sales, entertainment, a personnel interviewer, a professional host, politicians, recreation directors, party planners, and customer service relations. Just yesterday, I was flipping through the TV, and I like biographies, and I like to read biographies, I like to watch about biographies, and I came across a biography of Lucille Ball, you know, of I Love Lucy. What a fascinating life. I learned many things by watching this documentary yesterday. She was really groundbreaking in the 50s, especially as a woman in the world of comedy, and shattered a lot of glass ceilings, and became quite successful in many, many ways. Rich, famous, popular. More people watched her show than the Super Bowl. Quite a fascinating story. But also, what you saw on screen was very different than real life. That's true of most celebrities. But there's a quote by Lucille Ball, and she's the classic dancer personality type. There's a quote here that she said that really highlights this type of personality. She said, "I am a real ham. I love an audience. I work better with an audience. I am dead, in fact, without one." And so she, being this personality type and others, are motivated by the approval and the accolades and the laughs, in her case, of others. Let me read just a little bit more about this personality trait. This personality trait, this person loves to talk, and they love to talk about themselves. Some may view this as being self-centered, but really it's not. It's more out of a motivation to be liked and appreciated. And in many ways, this type of personality is insecure. And so that's why they're drawn to trying to receive the approval of others. This personality type's biggest fear is being humiliated in public. Something I learned in this documentary yesterday that I watched, towards the very end of her life, Lucille Ball starred in a television show called Life with Lucy. It was kind of a last-ditch effort to revitalize her career, but she was in her 70s by then, and the show bombed. It was canceled after 8 episodes. And they said, because it was so poorly received, she really went into such a deep depression that she really never recovered from. And so this type of personality is damaged through humiliation in public. Some of the natural weaknesses that are associated with this type of personality is being impatient, having a relatively short attention span, and not being very detailed oriented. If this personality type was a cartoon character, this personality type would be Snoopy from Peanuts or Tigger from Winnie the Pooh. If this personality type was a biblical character, this would be the Apostle Peter. Why Peter? Well, instantly I think of when Jesus was walking on the water, and which one of the disciples of Jesus said, "Hey, I can do this," and got out and started walking on the water? It was Peter. Look at Matthew chapter 14. Let me read this account to you. Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 22. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." And guess who spoke up? "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." Tell me to come to you. He didn't speak for the other disciples. He wanted to do this on his own. He wanted to be the showman, in a sense, because he didn't ask the Lord to bring any other disciples along. It was about him. "Come," Jesus said. Then Peter got down of the boat, walked on the water, and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me." Now think about this. This was a humiliating episode for Peter. He was humiliated in front of his peers and in front of his Lord because he began to sink. And so you can understand just how devastating it was for him, not only physically, as he thought he was going to drown, but his ego took a big, massive bruise as well. And he said, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" Ouch, there's another blow to his ego. But you know what? Maybe he needed that. Because Jesus knows what we need. And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Maybe this is your personality type. Maybe you're not the director. Maybe you're not the go-getter type A personality. But maybe this is you. This is how God has wired you. And I want to say to you, if this is who you are, Let your strengths and your weaknesses be used of God for His glory, so that His light may shine through you. I would say that most, maybe not all, but most of the people on our worship team fall into this category. That's why they're up on the worship team. Now, they're not there for their own accolades, but I can tell you, having been in the church my whole life, I've been around worship people who do it for all the wrong reasons. It is all about them. It's all about my talents and my musical abilities and what I can offer the church. That's not the case here. But that's one of the downsides, is if this is your personality style, make sure it's not about you. Make sure you're shining for Jesus for all the right reasons. Shine for Him. Let your strengths, your giftedness, your personality, even your weaknesses, shine for Him. And hopefully this will help you understand, maybe you live with someone of this personality persuasion, and you can understand them better and relate to them better and build them up and help them shine for Jesus better. But you, the way God created you, you shine for Him. Be who God created you to be. There's not one right or wrong personality style. It's just basically the way God made us. And Jesus says, the way you are, whether you're a director or a dancer, however God has created you to be, shine for Him. Father, I thank You for this personality type. These are people whom You have gifted in ways that You haven't gifted the rest of us. They have a way of drawing people in, but as Christians, they have a way of drawing people into Your presence. And so I thank You for the dancer personality types in our church. I thank You that they have given their abilities and their giftedness over to You so that their light shines for You.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.